It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The new State of Working Wisconsin report is out for 2025. The annual report, released around Labor Day, tracks employment and wages in the Wisconsin economy. This year, the median wage for Wisconsin workers hit an all-time high at $25 per hour, and the state's total number of jobs hit a high as well, over 3 million. But beneath those numbers, the report authors point to inequality among different groups and regions of the state, challenges from federal policy, and some potential signs of an economic slowdown. Laura Dresser is a co-author of the report and associate director of the High Road Strategy Center. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
Let's start with those numbers I just mentioned. Median wage, an all-time high, total number of jobs, an all-time high. Break that down for us. What does that mean?
Well, I think we've seen a really strong recovery from the pandemic shutdowns, and that strength has been year over year. We've seen wage increases that got knocked back by inflation in 2022. But when I'm talking about the highest wage, in fact, I'm talking about adjusting for inflation. So in 2023, in 2024, and that's the 2024 wage is the latest we can get. The wages kept moving up. And so now the median wage in the state is $25 an hour. It's been steady growth, except for that year that inflation took it out. It relates to the underlying growth of the job market. The strong economy has, put jobs, more and more jobs in the state, and it gives workers a stronger position to demand more of their work. And that's, I think, the dynamic that we've seen and has continued. But has continued up through the 24 data on wages and through the recent data on jobs in the state.
How does Wisconsin track compared to national trends?
You know, honestly, our growth is a little slow across the pandemic. Right now, the U.S. economy has 5% more jobs than it had before the lockdowns. And Wisconsin just has 2% more jobs than it did before the lockdown. So Wisconsin growth has lagged relative to the national growth in this recovery and in the previous one.
And when it comes to unemployment numbers, I've seen in the past Wisconsin tends to have lower unemployment than the national average. Is that still true?
That's still true. We have very low unemployment in the state right now. It's around 3%, hovering just above that. The tightest labor market we've ever seen was earlier in the pandemic recovery, down in the twos, but 3% unemployment is well below the national level, very low unemployment. It does mean that workers have more room to kind of either look for better work somewhere else or to talk to their employer about making work better where they are.
All right, if we stop with those two numbers, overall number of jobs and that median wage, things look pretty good. You don't stop there in that report. You point out that those overall numbers obscure some differences among different groups in the state by region, by race, by which sector of the economy. Where do you see problems underneath those numbers?
Underneath those numbers, we see there's a lot of inequality in this state. The High Road Strategy Center and others have long documented the extreme racial disparity between Black and white residents of the state, really higher levels than national levels, and that have that emerged across the 1980s and have been sustained till now. So really serious problems of Black and white inequality, though some of those gaps have closed slightly across this pandemic recovery, which I think is good news. Really significant geographic gaps. Unemployment is one way to see that, and unemployment is lower in Dane County and some counties in the south of Wisconsin, much higher further north. But actually, some of those gaps have come down across this. So yes, inequality and very substantial inequality by race, gender, ethnicity, but also some shrinkage in that, especially in general, not for every single group, but in general, some shrinkage of that inequality across this pandemic recovery.
Talking to Laura Dresser with the High Road Strategy Center, co-author of the new State of Working Wisconsin report for 2025. Laura, also in the report, you and your co-authors raise some red flags, warnings of a potential slowdown in Wisconsin's economy. What are those red flags?
Well, we've seen a real softening nationally and in Wisconsin in the kind of month-to-month job growth. So the jobs added in 2025 averaged just above 1,000 a month. That's growth. Yes, that's good. It gets you a new high, but that's not very strong growth. And at the national level, of course, the July jobs report showed such weakness in the national economy that analysts were really concerned about what that meant. The trajectory of the economy, that it looks a bit like an inflection point, it's slowing down. And that's true in the state. The Wisconsin economy does not avoid the national trends, and there's very serious concerns. And I think that looks back to the questions of the real hallmarks of the Trump administration, both the anti-immigration policies and the tariff policies, which are a drag on the economy. And I think that's where the concern for me and many, many analysts sit.
Let's get into tariffs now. A court ruling says President Trump didn't have the authority to do at least many of the tariffs. They're still in effect, though, as appeals are awaited. Wisconsin has a disproportionate manufacturing economy, I think, compared to the national average. Same for agriculture. Both tariffs are very important for both of those fields. What kind of things do you watch for when it comes to the impact of tariffs on Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that even just this thing like, okay, tariffs are on. Okay, wait, the court said they're not going to be okay, but they're going to stay on. Like, there has been incredible uncertainty ever since April 1st, what Trump called Liberation Day, about what this tariff regime was going to look like. And uncertainty is just hard for business. It is hard for them to plan. It is hard for them to know what their markets are going to look like or what they're actually going to be doing. And to have this level of chaos and uncertainty is just a drag on itself. But again, and as you say, like all of this is, it's very hard to tell exactly what's going to settle out of this. But especially our exporters facing retaliatory tariffs is really like, what is that going to look like for the ag sector, the manufacturing sector? And honestly, one of the sectors we always pay a lot of attention to the manufacturing sector in Wisconsin because of its relative importance here, because it matters so much. And like the national manufacturing sector, and actually even a little worse, Wisconsin's manufacturing jobs are drifting down and not surging forward. So that certainly doesn't suggest that manufacturers see an exciting future market that they're getting ready for. Right now, we see the uncertainty and some retrenchment in the manufacturing sector.
You also mentioned immigration. Your report tackles that issue. A few hundred thousand migrant workers in the state's workforce. How do immigrant workers contribute to Wisconsin's economy?
I mean, there's 300,000 immigrants in Wisconsin. They make up 7% of the workforce. They generate $23 billion in economic output and contribute in every sector of our economy. 12% of our agricultural workforce, 16% of our doctors. So a kind of hostility overall to immigrants, I think, is a kind of misunderstanding or aligning those contributions. It also puts families, it makes families feel insecure, even families with strong, with the papers in place and the documented status, still either face the worry of, arbitrary arrest or just the worry of their community. And putting that level, again, this is like uncertainty and fear in a community. It puts consumers back. It keeps people, some folks say they're staying home. Our agriculture, our hospitality, and our food service industries, all which face labor shortages, are having a harder time filling jobs, all because of this hostility to immigrants at the federal level.
You and many other economists and others use U.S. federal government numbers. Now, earlier this summer, President Trump fired a Bureau of Labor Statistics staffer, saying he didn't like the numbers that the agency was reporting. What concerns do you have about the quality of data in the future if people are worried they're going to be fired if they give numbers that the president doesn't like to see?
Yeah, this is especially troubling in a sort of nerdy way, but I hope if your listeners will tolerate it. You know, when a leader, a president says, "Oh my gosh, this commissioner's the division that created this. I am firing this commissioner, and I am putting someone I want in this commissioner." When you've asked that agency, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, to be independent and indisputable, and to do the best science they can, and then you threaten or replace the top of the agency, it sends the signal that the only news that is, or the only data that is allowed to come out, is data that confirms the story you're trying to draw with your narrative. And I think the strength of the BLS, the federal architecture of data, has been that it is independent of the political process. We believe it, and then we look at it, and then we have to make our political arguments from there instead of undermining it. So when you replace the top of the agency, it just creates this kind of question, like, well, what is the quality of the data? The BLS infrastructure is massive. And I think, you know, it would take a lot to, you can't just, there's not a person who sits and can kind of like red mark and change the data, but it does undermine the kind of legitimacy and our mutual investment in that data to have a leader who is wanting, you know, some lab president who is wanting news that confirms his story rather than what the truth is. And I that's a real problem. And you know, going forward, we'll definitely be watching carefully what goes on at the BLS, what goes on with their methodology around saying how many jobs and what the level of unemployment is, because to change those things in order just to get different answers is not acceptable in terms of running an economy that's transparent and democratic.
Laura, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
That's Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the High Roads Strategy Center. She's co-author of the new report we've been talking about. It's called The State of Working Wisconsin 2025.